He's the type of guy who says this right now, and then he'll play 2K and call everything bullshit about the game.
That's bullshit.
You can pick up.
That's bullshit.
You're going to be listening to these frequencies that they give you, you know? And there's these guys sitting in studios working on frequencies that make you think differently.
What's going on in the world, if you could just go home every day after your job and go live in the world that you want to live in, why would you give a fuck what's going on out there?
What's up, guys? It's Big Mike the Don back again on the Reverse Universe podcast. We're going to do a duo show, you know, me and Mr. Williams, about to kick it for you.
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
I know exactly how I'm doing right now because, you know, a lot has changed. We had a whole debate about Jared Allen and Rudy Gobert, and now... Fuck Jared Allen.
Oh, that's messed up.
Oh, no, no. Now we got Mr. James Harden. I'll take him any day of the week. And tonight, he just dropped, what did he drop? 30 points?
Yeah, 30, 32, something like that. Triple-double.
Triple-double, because he had like 14 assists, 11 rebounds. He's killing it out there, you know? How the Knicks doing, though? That's what I want to know.
Hey, we're not talking about the Knicks. I thought you want to talk about James Harden.
I want to talk about James Harden. I want to talk about Kevin Durant. I think he hasn't shot less than like 60% in any of the games. He's like the first net since Stephon Marbury to have seven straight 25-point games in his debut. Yeah. So,
you can't even tell that this guy had a tragic Achilles injury.
No, you can't. You can't. He's back and he's balling like he's, you know, like he's been playing this whole fucking time.
Right. And like, not to mention he was off a whole year. Like, and this guy is still in top discussion.
Exactly. And then they said tonight Kyrie was supposed to come back. He didn't come back, but we don't need him. Honestly, I wouldn't mind a trade. You know, we can, I don't know if Kyrie has a trade clause or anything like that in his contract, but I definitely think we could trade him off, like you were telling me earlier, for some pieces. But I would like to see like a legit big man since we just lost Allen. I think between Harden and then you got Durant and then you get like a legit big man in the picture. Doesn't even have to be offensive, just a defensive big man, and it's a wrap.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good idea, but as you just mentioned that I told you earlier, my personal opinion, I think they should add just a bunch of really good role players, like more shooters or more defenders. Doesn't necessarily have to be a big man.
I mean,
DeAndre Jordan, he does exactly what you ask.
He's old, man.
He's old, but he's still a good defender. Yeah. And he's still grabbing boards like, you know, no tomorrow. He's still a top rebounder.
I just feel like in the long stretch of things, I don't know if, you know, DeAndre Jordan being the big man of the Nets is going to really fly, you know? I think they need like a legit big man. I'll take that because you're right now, I mean, you know, the only thing that they got going for them is the fact that, Durant, you know, he's a tall fucking defender too, you know what I mean? So, but he's also very frail.
Nah, yeah. Durant is a really good defender.
He is.
But,
he's Spider-Man.
But yeah, let me pick your brain on this one.
All right.
Do you think Kyrie maybe had some insight that Harden was coming and he's a little mad?
No.
That he's going to be more like the third string now?
No. I know Buddha, he brought that to my attention because he's like, oh, it all makes sense now. He's like, you know, Kyrie, you know, he doesn't want to play and all this other stuff. He doesn't say nothing. And all of a sudden you guys get James Harden and it's like, oh, you know, maybe that's why. No. Steve Nash said it. You know, what's his name? Mark said it.
Of course, he said
it had nothing to do with that. And Kyrie's ready to ball out again. And he's about to do it with two other elite superstars. But because you gotta think, when has Kyrie ever wanted to be the fucking man? He's never wanted to be the actual
What you mean?
He's never
look what
wanted.
He said about LeBron. He was downplaying LeBron.
Yeah, but that was different.
He wanted to be the man. That's why he went to Boston, you know, because he wanted to be that guy. He didn't want to be LeBron's Robin.
Yeah, but that's different because
how is it different?
Because when he went back to Cleveland and played with Kyrie, LeBron wasn't like, if he played with LeBron now, I think it'd be different because LeBron's a different player than he was when he played in Cleveland.
What you mean?
He's a different player.
LeBron's been the same player for a decade.
But look at how he lets AD shine out in LA.
He let Kyrie shine too. But Kyrie didn't want to get undershined. He wanted all the shine. He wanted okay. He wanted LeBron to shine under him.
Okay, so why would he want to play with Kevin Durant then? Kevin Durant's going to outshine him any day of the week.
It's very true.
Stunted him.
I mean, they're KD and LeBron are on the same level, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly. Just, I stumped the Williams. Just like if you look at the comments, I want everyone to go
ahead. Everyone, please go look at the comments on the Instagram account.
He's trying to tell me
you will
even.
See it is even.
It's not even.
It's even, bro. There was like two people that agreed with me, and there was like two people that agree with you.
That's bullshit.
And the other few people that did comment, they weren't definitive about our argument. They were just saying about the contract.
I'd rather take Jared Allen's contract because it's a lot cheaper.
I'll say this. There was probably about way more than four people, and there was way more than six. There was probably about 12 to 15 people. If you go between Instagram and you go between Facebook, there's about 12 to 15 people, and I'd say maybe two, possibly three people said that Allen was better. And then there were a couple people who said, due to the contract of Allen being cheaper. But Allen's not going to always be cheap if he keeps doing what he's doing. He's going to start wanting money. And now he's playing.
Let me get into this.
Okay.
Allen already wanted his money. Yeah. And I think this was a little bit part of the reason why they traded him. Okay. I can't remember exactly when. It was somewhere around the whole COVID thing. Maybe right before or right after. He wanted a contract extension. And he was asking for, a lot more than his rookie contract. And the Nets declined him.
Well, he deserves it, but we can't pay him when you got KD.
The Nets clearly had other plans. They wanted to bring in another star.
Well, they've been trying to force this with Houston for a long time now.
Really?
I didn't really
hear about this until like right before the season started.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. This was way before the season started. They were trying to push to get James Harden. And the Rockets wouldn't budge because they wanted either Kyrie or Kevin Durant. And what's the point in trading Kyrie or Kevin Durant for James Harden?
Right, they just
I would have traded maybe Kyrie for James Harden. And some pieces we would have to get back in return for it, though, or it wouldn't be worth the trade.
Nah, I mean, on paper, they're about an even trade.
Harden
got the MVP over him, but don't get me wrong, bro. Like, Kyrie is a really good player, but it's just all that off the court nonsense he brings.
Well, that's the part that I'm talking about, though. I mean, I guess you're right then. I guess if we were to give up Kyrie, maybe we wouldn't get too much in return because there's so many variables when it comes to Kyrie anyway. You never know how many games he's going to play. You never know what he's going to do next. He could just completely not, next week he could just be like, I don't want to play for the Nets anymore.
Like Harden, this guy comes up to work every single day and he balls out.
He just wants the ball. That's all. And he's happy to be in Brooklyn. He said it right after the first game. He said it. He said this team is ready. He's ready for it.
But I can't laugh at the fact. I mean, I'm lying because I could laugh. I am laughing at the fact that James Harden is looking like Mark Henry right now.
He does.
He gained some pounds. He got the little dreads. He got the beard. He's looking like Mark Henry, bro.
He is. He's looking like a mini Henry, bro. He's mini Henry right now.
Oh, my God.
But, and I've always said that because, he's like fluctuated, I feel like, with his weight and stuff like that, where he looks bigger sometimes and then other times he looks.
Yeah, but it always had a more of the muscular side on it. But now, in the past few weeks, past month, he's just looking like overweight.
It's all those chicken wings at the strip club.
Yeah, bro.
That's what he looking at strippers and eating chicken wings.
The honey buns.
The honey buns, yeah. No, but anyway, yeah, he does. Even like in this game, in those old Net jerseys, he was looking pretty chunky. He was looking like a chunky dude out there.
Yeah, bro.
But dropping 30, I don't care how chunky you are, bro. He could look like Escalade from N1. I don't care as long as you're dropping buckets, bro.
Exactly. It don't matter how he was looking tonight. He balled the fuck out.
No.
Came through. Brand new team. Dropped a triple-double with 30-plus points.
Uh-huh.
Almost 15 assists.
Well, he's going to break the assists because...
He's gonna be, you were saying earlier, like, He's going to get a lot of assists. All he has to do is pass it to Durant.
Yeah.
Durant is fucking almost automatic this
Durant
season.
Durant looks like he was in a fucking, when he was out, he was in a wheelchair just shooting buckets. He was just shooting because his shot is so fuego right now. It's unbelievable.
Durant is back like he never even left.
Never. But in other news, though, getting away from the Nets a little bit, as excited as I am for the Nets, you know, I was reading an article before, you know, while you were here, that Luka Doncic, oh my God, I can't even say his name right, but he is tied in his third season in the NBA. He has the 16th most triple doubles, tied with Mr. Michael Jordan himself already.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn impressive.
That's a crazy fact.
Though this guy does it all too. You know what I mean? I feel like he's the type of guy in like another, if he could stick to what he's doing in another 5-6 years, we're going to be having him in the discussion of like a LeBron category.
Yeah. That's, you know? That was going to be the next thing I brought up. I was going to say, do you think in a few years, would this be Luka's league?
I can't imagine. Unless something dramatically changes, I can't imagine.
And if not, who else would you think? Like, whose league would it be if it's not his?
It's rough. Because, you know what? When you think of, like, the league and, like, the players like that, like, you kind of don't think of the big men. Because, you know, it's just like
kind of fading out.
They fade out. But, I mean, the only big man I could say is AD. I could see AD really being, like, the face of everything. Just because he is super dominant, too. Yeah. You know? And then it all depends, too. Because he proved that he's a really good player. But without the superstars behind him, how far can he really go?
Yeah, like with the Pelicans.
On the other hand, I feel
like 7 seasons, he only had 13 playoff games.
Right, but then I feel like Luka, you know, with the Mavs, it all depends too. If he can start racking up some playoff wins and, you know, going deep into the playoffs and stuff like that by himself, really, who else is on the Mavs?
Not really. Porzingis. When the hell is he playing? He's not like phenomenal. Like,
no.
He's good, but
he's a good big man. I mean, but he's like the new age good big man. He can shoot threes and he could do all the, you know, like kind of small ball, even though he's like, what, 7 foot? You know
what I mean? He's like a 7 foot small forward.
Right. You know, other than that, Giannis. I mean,
Giannis,
whatever he wants to be called, it's fine.
He wants to be called Giannis.
He is probably the other phenom. I think it's going to be him and Luka. That's going to be the future of the NBA. Because what, Giannis is in what, his fourth season now?
Yeah. No. Wait. No.
How many seasons has he been?
Definitely a lot more than four. I'd say maybe 7.
Really? Has it been that long already?
Nah.
I don't know why, because he wasn't like that in his first years.
I
want to
say he's like 2013 draft, maybe 2012.
Yeah, but that just shows how crazy it is for, you know, Luka. You know, Luka literally.
Luka is on a whole different level, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You got me saying Giannis now. Giannis, he was barely even an all-star in his third season. Luka was like, they would talk about MVP in his rookie season.
I know.
He was in the talks.
It's just crazy, his style of play, because he's got like a style of play that's kind of like, it reminds me of kind of like a Steve Nash with even more ball handling skills and a shot that's like, you know, any kind of elite shooting guard. It's like, he's got all these characteristics. If he was taller, bro, imagine if Luka was like 6'11", you know, like 7 foot tall doing this, you know, because we talk about how, you know, Giannis is, you know, huge and he plays small. Kevin Durant is huge, but he plays small.
Yeah.
Now imagine Luka with the way he plays. If he was a bigger guy, he would be unstoppable.
The only downfall with Giannis is dude can't shoot for shit.
Yeah, that's always, that hurts, especially in today's NBA. That hurts.
One on one, driving to the hoop, you can't stop the dude.
No, he is a force when he's going down. You know, it's like, but that's what made LeBron so great too. Because LeBron he's a clutch shooter, but he's not like a great shooter.
He'll look to pass it first. Yeah. And you know, like, it's funny. I was just watching this clip on Gilbert Arenas talking about LeBron.
Yeah,
and he was saying pretty much like everyone like criticizes him because he don't want to take the last shot, but if you look at most plays, like, he knows the right decision to make. He'll pass it to the right guy.
Yeah.
And 9 out of 10, they'll knock that shot down. And what else he was saying was that he has confidence in other people. Like, if he don't, obviously, if he has a clear shot, he'll take it. But if it's like, you know, at the end of the game, teams are going to double team him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So, obviously, if you're double teaming, someone's open.
Yeah.
And he has that confidence in that player that he passes it to. And he was saying that with LeBron feeling that way, it's like it boosts their confidence too.
Yeah. Well, he's got that court awareness on offense and on defense.
LeBron got like the greatest basketball IQ of all time.
Yeah. Like, because that's the thing about it. And I agree. Like, I don't think, you know, I can't really judge him because he doesn't want to take the last shot. You know, he has a lot of input in all the teams he ever plays on, who's on the team. That's why you see all these guys following him, you know, that go everywhere he goes. He has the same players because he's got confidence in these people to make the shots if he gets them the ball.
He's the greatest, you know, team player.
He is. And
without a doubt.
100%. Because he doesn't need to make the shots, but he still stacks up the stats, you know. Like, he can go a game and have 20 assists, bro. And it's just because he will just give he chooses, and they'll still win the game because he chooses to play that way. Yeah. Or he can go and fucking drop 40 on a game because he chooses to be dominant. Yeah. You know, so that's the thing about LeBron.
That's the beauty of it.
And it's the it's scary because like we've said in so many other podcasts, he is not young, and he's still just kicking it, bro.
But while we're on LeBron, let's just talk about how this guy he dropped Coca-Cola.
Oh yeah,
and he's signing with Pepsi.
He's doing this. He's like,
he's taking his talents to Pepsi.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's taking his talents to Pepsi. He's leaving Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
because they're gonna offer him some more money, probably.
I should have did a little more research, but I didn't see why he wanted to. All I read was the headline.
Well, he's been with them for a minute, bro. Yeah. All those Sprite.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always been doing
specifically Sprite.
He's been doing Sprite commercials.
You know what's funny? With Pepsi, he's doing specifically Mountain Dew.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he can't be related to the regular Coca-Cola. Or I mean, like the regular cola drinks.
How funny is that, though? He's going to the, you know, the exact opposite.
I know. I mean, it's LeBron. This is typical LeBron. He just leaves. He just leaves and just goes somewhere else. A drop of a dime. It's just like, I'm done with Coke.
It's gonna be weird, bro. Seeing all these years with the, you know, Sprite. Now you're gonna see him with
Mountain Dew. I don't know. Maybe it's a new era.
What's even their slogan? It's a dude thing, right?
Or something like that. You know, he's gonna probably be drinking Mountain Dew in the new movie,
in the Space Jam,
Jam movie. That I think is gonna be totally not as good as the original Space Jam. Yeah. Not even close.
Probably not, but you know, technology is a lot better these days. So who knows? It might actually be a good movie.
Visually, it's probably gonna look better, but just in general, I don't know. Michael Jordan's not a great actor. He was terrible.
Not,
yeah, he was a terrible. But it was Michael Jordan in that movie, and the way they portrayed even like his life and everything in it,
yeah,
kind of made it so much more interesting in that aspect to watch, because you're like, it's Michael Jordan. You're watching him literally play baseball. it's crazy.
And in general, at that time, people just loved Jordan way more than they love LeBron these days.
Yeah, like, no.
Jordan, you know, obviously he had haters, but for the most part, everyone loved Jordan. Like, LeBron, it's like half and half. You got all these LeBron haters, and then you have all these LeBron lovers.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm no longer a LeBron hater. I'm more of a appreciator, but I don't love him. I will just say I appreciate him.
I don't know. In that one episode, you sounded like you loved him.
You were praising him. Love, bro. It's appreciation for greatness, man. I was always, you know, the hate in me for him always made it where the appreciation couldn't shine. And now the way he is, you know, it's just like, you can't deny it anymore.
I feel you on that. I have a similar feeling, but I never really hated him. I just didn't like him because the way he portrayed himself, like, you know, that baby aspect.
Well, to another thing here, just because it just hit my head, you know, this is specifically for you because you are a Knicks fan. Okay. So we're going to talk about Linsanity, you know, because he's trying to get back into the NBA as he did last year. And nobody wants him. What do you think the fate of Jeremy Lin's going to be? Chinese basketball for life?
Well, no. No. I know the NBA is trying to introduce an extra roster spot because of, you know, all the COVID stuff. You know, a lot of people, not a lot of people, a lot of players, you know, they test positive, they can't play, and then they get shortened on the roster, and they can't.
Is he worthy of a spot, though? Is he worthy of a spot?
That's where I'm getting at. Okay. When you got half your roster out, yes.
Okay.
Jeremy Lin is worthy of a spot. He'll give you a solid five points, two assists, and a rebound.
I don't even think that. I don't even think that.
Bro, in 25 minutes.
I don't know what it is. Like, I watch videos of Jeremy Lin. Like, I follow him on, like, social media. And, like, he looks like dope in the gym. He's hitting like a million shots in a row.
Of course.
And he's like doing all these workouts and he's getting stronger and stuff like that. I mean, I'd love to see him come back and kill it again. But for some reason, like after the whole Nick thing, he just totally fell off, bro. Like his game sucks. He played for the Nets too. He was trash. He misses everything he shoots. Yeah. He makes terrible decisions with the ball.
Like, it was ever since he got that spiky hair.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was just not matching him. No, the spiky hair killed him. And then like he had the dreadlocks too.
He did?
He did when he played for the Nets. I
remember that.
The Nets and the Lakers, I believe.
Dreadlocks.
He had dreadlocks.
No way.
Oh, yeah. You got to look it up. I'm telling you. On the next episode, when Trey comes back, he's gonna give his personal opinion on the dreadlocks on Jeremy Lin, how he likes that.
Don't say I'm gonna do that. Oh, yeah. I never agreed to.
I'm gonna make it happen. I am not
putting my time into Jeremy Lin's dreadlocks, but I will get into how that James Harden trade might get rescinded.
That's bullshit.
It is not bullshit.
That is Trey's infinite line of that.
I feel
bullshit.
Like no. Listen. I feel like that's the reason they traded Caris LeVert. Why would they trade him? That's like their youngest best prospect. Like, the dude had a bright future.
Yeah.
He was really good. And let me tell you this. He gets to Indiana, and by protocol, they have to take a physical.
Right.
And they find a small mass in his kidneys.
Kidney stones.
It's kidney stones. No. It's not kidney stones.
So what's going to happen?
I don't know what's going to happen. I think the trade is going to get rescinded.
No. See, that's bull. You know for a fact it's not going to get rescinded. So what? James Harden's going to play two or three games with the Nets and get shipped back to Houston?
Yeah, it's going to be a history in the NBA.
He's going to be right back up in them strip clubs.
Yep. Eating them Little Debbies and them honey buns.
That's right. He's like, fuck it. He's like, if I have to play for Houston, I'm gonna look like Mark Henry. I'm gonna let the haters know what it is. But
in other conspiracy type news,
yeah.
Well, it's not really conspiracy, but if you say conspiracy, you got to bring up Kyrie.
Oh, always
Kyrie over here getting fined.
Uh huh.
$500,000 yep. A game.
That's
for fine. Violating COVID-19 protocols.
Yep, he's a fucking moron, man. At least, like I said, at least it's not because of the James Harden thing, but still, he's so dumb, bro. I think the last time I checked was he was already up before this whole thing at like $860,000 in fines. Now it's $500,000 per game.
Like, shit, bro, you could have donated that to me.
Right? He could have done a lot of money. He could have donated that to all his flat earth conspiracies and all that other shit.
Yeah, he could have did some research with that money.
Could have been, man. He could have donated to Black Lives Matter. He could have done a lot of shit with that money.
The list goes on.
And now it goes to the NBA. Where are they going to put that money into? Like the G League or whatever it's called?
Research for other ways they can find players.
Yeah. Well, he deserves it, though. I love, man, like I said, I love the Nets. Kyrie, that's my man because he's on the Nets. But he's a complete fuck-up sometimes.
He's an idiot.
He's as dumb. He's dumb as it gets. But you know who else is really dumb? That stupid fucking ref. Because during the Nets game today, the ref called a foul. And he says, foul on the New Jersey Nets.
And, I mean, I don't really blame him because, you know, the Nets, they're trying to bring back them early 90s Nets jerseys.
Those are dope jerseys. I'll give them that.
You know, the baby blue, you know.
Yeah, but they haven't been in New Jersey in like 5 years now. It's been a long time.
At least, yeah. I think When they go there, I think like 2012. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been more than that. It's been a lot more than that. And they and the ref still calling it New Jersey Nets.
Nah, I'm telling you though, it definitely had to be because he saw the jersey. He's like, he's having flashbacks. Like, oh shit! Foul on the New Jersey Nets.
Right, number 5, Jason Kidd. He's calling fouls on Kenyon Martin. Like, nah, man. We in 2021. It's a new age, man. Kyrie. That's the thing. Like, if Kyrie really put his energy into it, he could have a even greater legacy than fucking Jason Kidd did here. If he can make this dynasty really happen,
that's a hard push coming from a quote unquote diehard Nets fan,
every day, boy.
No, I'll die hard every other season
when they're doing good. I don't give a fuck. No, but he could though. Realistically, he really could. You know, he's got all the pieces. Jason Kidd didn't have this pieces, bro. He did. He had Kenyon Martin. That's what he had.
And Kidd made his pieces.
He made his pieces. But in the end of the day, what does it really matter if you win some championships? So if Brooklyn can win 2 or 3 championships, Kyrie's, you know, as the point guard of the Nets will outshine Jason Kidd's era of just going to the finals twice.
But he could still make his own legacy because Brooklyn has yet to done anything big.
Nope. I mean, we've done more than the Knicks.
Yes, not really.
100%. We have.
In the Brooklyn era?
We've been to the playoffs.
That's so have we.
The Knicks, since we've been in Brooklyn? Maybe 1 year. Yeah, maybe 1 year.
Couple years.
No. Yeah. Bullshit. Bullshit.
Carmelo era, bro. We made it past the first round, unlike the Nets.
Wow.
That's a big accomplishment.
That's some real hater shit on that. No, so I think we need to stop talking about basketball now because I'm just getting upset. You know what I mean? I'm getting a little flustered right now.
All right. Well, we could talk about how the Packers are advancing into the conference final.
Well, I'll tell you this: Aaron Rodgers. You know, they put a spark under his ass when they drafted Love, because this guy is not fucking around. He's not fucking around.
Not only that, but last season also, they were talking about how Rodgers is falling off.
Oh, falling off my ass, bro. He's still great.
He's still elite.
He's still great. He really is. I mean, next to like Tom Brady, who, you know, he's still doing pretty good. I mean,
yeah, he's the GOAT.
He kind of did fall off now a little bit.
For sure.
But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is still that guy you look at, you know, like a senior in this league. And he's still doing senior, like, big things for being a senior quarterback.
And the Packers finally gave him a good all-around team. They gave him a good line, good defense, right. Good receivers.
That game. I didn't see the whole game. I only watched the highlights.
Right.
But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, 2 touchdown passes. I think he threw for a little under 300 yards and a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, and a rushing touchdown.
That was nice, bro. That pass from him to Devontae Adams, that was sweet, bro.
Oh, my God.
You see how mad that corner got?
What's his name? Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, he got so mad, bro. He was tight. But I'm like, bro, you just got beat.
He's definitely going to be in the NFL voiceovers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's just him yapping away, bro, because he got beat. I don't care. He's like, oh, people got in his
beautiful
way.
Beautiful play.
It was a beautiful play. Just, you know, just appreciate that the fact it was a beautiful fucking play. You know, and then on top of that now, look at the Bills.
The Bills. 20 years since they made the conference finals.
Right. And now the Bills are, you know, that this team has come a long way. I'll give it that much. You know, because even Josh Allen, they were, you know, he's always had that reputation of being good. But just this season and even last season, he's become kind of elite, you know, with his legs. He's come elite with his arm. All around, that team has become pretty much elite, you know.
Especially with the addition of Stephon Diggs.
Oh, yeah. That helped so much, you know.
Of course.
Because last year his best receiver was, what's his name, Brown. I can't think of his first name, but yeah, exactly.
If you can't think of his first name,
he didn't really have much. Now you got Stephon Diggs at least, and that's a, you know, an elite receiver, you know, but like Jared Allen makes that team though. If they did not have Jared Allen and they just had any other
Josh
quarterback,
Allen. Jared Allen.
Josh See? Allen.
You love Jared Allen.
I do, even though he's the third center for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now.
But back to Josh Allen.
Okay.
The guy is just, he's becoming immaculate, bro. I honestly think he's going to become one of the top quarterbacks in the next decade.
Yeah. He definitely has the potential to do so. But at the same time, it's hard to say that because so much stuff can happen, man. Like, we've seen it so many times where, you know, a player is at elite level for a short amount of time and then either A, they fall off, or B, they get injured and they're never the same, you know. So it's hard to say that. It's kind of like one of those things now, especially with the eight, you know, with me getting older and stuff like that. You realize people need to prove themselves a little bit longer than, you know, back in the day, you know, we would watch a player, you know, like Derrick Rose. Think of that. We thought Derrick Rose was going to be the fucking next MJ, bro, the way he played. He was fucking dope as shit. And then he got hurt and he's never been the same, even though he's coming back a little bit now. But
yeah, but he's just like a solid player. Yeah. But Josh Allen, he'll get to prove himself next weekend against, most likely, we don't know yet, but most likely Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Assuming they're going to beat the Browns.
I would hope so. If the Browns win, that's going to be a huge upset.
I really hope they beat the Browns, me being a Steelers fan.
Yeah, no, I know you
do. The Steelers losing in that fucking horrific loss. It was just terrible right off the first 15 seconds.
Yeah, and I want to see them lose for the fact that all the shit talk that Odell had about the Giants before he left.
Yeah, and the Browns just being all cocky and shit.
Yeah, they're a fuck.
Thinking just because they beat the Steelers that...
They're like the fuckboy team.
Oh, don't sleep on us.
They're the fuckboy team.
Nah, bro, you the fucking... I'm pretty sure they were the bottom or the second to bottom wild card.
Yeah, no, they're just lucky, bro. That's really what it is. Because Baker Mayfield's not a great quarterback at all. He's good, but he's not great. Yeah, he's not an elite quarterback.
Yeah, he's not elite, but he is good.
This Sunday or tomorrow or today, actually, because like I said, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. When he plays Mahomes, that will be some big stuff. If he could put a big game on today and beat the Chiefs and beat him who does it, not like no like. You know, the defense scores like 14 points, you know, and then Baker
Mayfield. Defense scored most of their points that game.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I don't want to see that shit because then that's just the Browns. That's not Baker Mayfield, you know, and it's not Odell Beckham. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear none of these names out there. Oh, they won this game. No, no, no. The defense won. You know what I mean? That's a big difference between, you know, saying you have some elite players and you just have a really good team, which they do have a good team. I just don't think any of those players are elite anymore. You know what I mean? Like, Odell, I thought was going to be elite.
Landry.
He was supposed to be elite, too. Elite. When he was on the Dolphins, he was supposed to be elite. When Odell was on the Giants, he was supposed to be elite. But Odell barely played, you know. Landry, ever since he's been on the Browns. Landry is
the more targeted over Odell.
Yeah, now. But originally, he wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be Odell. He was supposed to be the fucking superstar.
And I'll say Nick Chubb, he's pretty good, too.
Nick Chubb is good. No, 100%. Nick Chubb, I like him because he's just like that good mix of a nice power back. Yeah, but he got that
old school you know, running back style.
But he's also fast as fuck.
Really. He is.
So
he's fast as fuck, strong as fuck. Breaks tackles.
I'll give it to him. If he has a big game, I could say that guy has a possibility of being elite. Baker Mayfield, I don't know, man. He just seems like the thing about him is he seems like he's got a good arm. You know, he's got a little bit of running to him where he can run a little bit. But I feel like he doesn't have the best on-field awareness of what doing when he's playing because he makes some really fucking stupid plays. You know, and I think, like I said, his defense saves his ass most of the time.
And his teammates, too.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Mostly Nick Chubb.
Right. Nick Chubb, beast. But, I'm actually really, you know, I'm excited to see what's going to happen because, you know, I like the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs could do it again. I think they easily could do it again. But at the same time, like I said before about Aaron Rodgers, I would love to see him win, man. Just for the fact that he had so many haters going into this season, and then for him to win a championship would be like two middle fingers up. Like, fuck y'all. Like, you got a quarterback, why? Trade his ass, because I'm going to be here for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I mean, my prediction is Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl.
That would be dope. That's what they wanted last year, because that would have been the 100th season last year.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the 100th season, so they wanted to see, that was the first Super Bowl, was the Chiefs and Packers. So they wanted to see.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so they wanted to see the 100th year be the Chiefs and the Packers. So if it's this year, that'd be cool too. You know, the memes out there right now for the game today is it's going to be Progressive versus State Farm.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's going to be Progressive versus State Farm. So we'll see which insurance company can bank in. You know what I mean?
Baker won't be at home.
No. No. That's going to be a big thing, too.
The Chiefs are hoping they get the Patrick deal.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely want that deal going on.
And if the Packers make the Super Bowl, they're going to hope they get the Rodgers deal.
Exactly. Oh, imagine that. Think of that. That's going to be the State Farm versus State Farm.
The battle of State Farm.
I wonder if they're sponsoring.
Who's going to win? The Rodgers deal or the Patrick deal?
I would go more towards the Patrick deal, but I want the Rodgers deal to win.
I would go with the Rodgers deal.
Yeah, that would be, like I said, that would make me happy. I would be happy since the Giants got screwed out of not making the playoffs this year. You know, we were so close.
So are you just stick with the NFC?
So I'll just stick with the NFC. That's it. I won't be mad if the Chiefs win. I don't hate the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs. I like Patrick Mahomes. You know, I like Travis Kelce. I like that whole team.
I like both teams.
Yeah, no.
Honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad. I would be mad if, like, the Cleveland Browns won it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would not
win the Super Bowl.
Bro, craziest things has happened, bro. Crazier things have happened. Yeah,
but no.
That would be wild. If they won the Super Bowl, I would be mad.
Extremely wild.
Like, I wouldn't mind if the Bills won. I wouldn't mind if the Chiefs won. I wouldn't mind if Green Bay won.
Nah.
Hell no. I don't want the fucking...
Of all the remaining teams left, the Browns are not winning.
Is that your prediction right now?
That's my fact.
You're putting on that money on that?
If we put in money, I'll put
money.
I'm
not putting money. I'm just saying that you would put money on the fact.
I would.
So this Sunday, or today, you're going to put money on the Chiefs?
I would. I will.
You will? How much money are you going to put on the Chiefs today?
Well, I don't necessarily... bet on one single team. I do parlays.
The way my bank account's set up.
No. It's the way how I want to win is set up.
No, that's true. Yeah, no.
I want to win, you know, some decent dollars.
Yeah,
you don't win much off a single game.
No, I know you got to do those parlays, man.
Yeah.
Those parlays are bomb, bro. If you can hit, you know, even if you just take a bunch of favorites and
I'll
can...
tell you, I mixed in a few... underdogs that probably wouldn't win games. About 2 weeks ago, it was a 9-team parlay. I threw $3 bet.
$3.
Bro. $3.
Yeah.
I won $240.
Damn, son.
No, I'm lying. The $3 bet, I won $195. And then I threw another dollar bet in addition with that incorporated with the same bet, but it was less teams in the parlay. And it all totaled into $240.
Look at that.
So $4, $240.
If you want to flip $3 into $240 or $5,
bro,
you got to hit up this guy.
Once in a lifetime. Do not hit this guy up.
Hit this guy up. He knows what to do.
I've tried those type of bets for the last year or two. That's the first big one I've hit.
I just get so frustrated with it because I get so confident. I get so confident that I'm going to hit.
You know so
I
mean? Do I.
And then some crazy shit will happen. It's like, because you have to bank on those parlays, bro. Because you don't, until I started, actually betting on sports, I didn't realize how much shit goes the opposite you think it is.
Yep.
You know, in general, out of all the games, it's crazy.
And that's why I throw those low ball bets.
Right, because then you only lose a little bit of money.
Exactly. But the outcome is good.
Right, sometimes.
Now, imagine if I was some sort of gambler.
Balling.
Yeah. Not even balling, just a gambler in general. Mm-hmm. Like, say I threw $10 on that shit.
Yeah.
I would have won an easy G.
Right, that would have been nice. The most I think I've won from a parlay is I think I, if I can remember correctly, last year I put in $10 or $15 on a parlay and I won like $387 or something like that. Like, so, I mean, nice. It works. Yeah, it was good. But then, you know, on like FanDuel and stuff like that or DraftKings, you can like look back and you can see like your averages. And I'm always 50%.
Yeah, I'm down.
You're down? No, yeah. I'm always 50%. I don't know how, but I'm always
50%. 50% what?
Like, I don't win.
Above?
No, like I don't win or lose any money. Like I'm just
Break even.
I break even every fucking year. Every year, every time I look at it, I'm always even. But that's because I do the.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that's because I do blackjack too on there. And blackjack sometimes, I don't know. I'll just like feel like real froggy sometimes, and I'll just throw like $50 on a hand, like one hand.
You're fucking crazy.
I'll just do it and I'll win and I'll be like, I'll leave it alone.
I don't trust the online casinos. It's like scary. I messed with it a few times and I feel like it's so rigged.
It's gotta be. Cause you know, I realized that too, because like in the beginning I was doing that. I don't really do it much. I haven't done it in a long time. But like when I first did it, they would let you win. I realized I could throw big hands down and I'll win. And I'll be like, oh, that's so dope. And I'll keep doing it. And then I'll like pull some money out.
you'll win in the beginning, and then, but in the long run,
no, they're gonna,
you're
fuck
gonna lose
you.
Your money.
Hell yeah, they're gonna fuck you hard.
You'll hit your first few, and then it's like everything after that for about 20-25 hands, you're losing.
It's just crazy how many times they get like 21, how many times they get 20. It's like,
it's like every time.
Yeah, it's like, how is that? Like, I'll have 19.
Yeah, you'll get 19, 20, but every single time you get 19 or 20, the dealer gets 21.
Yeah, every fucking time, bro. It's crazy. It's, I'm like,
get the fuck out.
That's
why
I'm saying that shit's rigged. Even in the casino, it's technically kind of rigged too. The way they do the deck.
Digital, you can go so much further with the rigging.
Oh yeah, they definitely have like a whole setup. There has to.
Just put 21.
Right, just play it.
Like the dealer really. I mean, I don't know, but I'm assuming the dealer really doesn't know what's underneath, because they do shuffle it, unless they got some elite fucking shuffling skills.
There's some sketchy shit that goes on, bro. I've watched and I've played in the casino, and like sometimes I do good, but overall it's just some sketchy shit. Because even in the casino, like you can play with your friends, and
you can actually play with other people. Like when you play online, it's just you.
Right, exactly. But I'm just saying in general, if like you're playing poker with like your friends, like I feel like it's such a more even spread, or like if you're playing price. You know what I mean?
The dealer always has some sort of, you know,
advantage. Yeah. Like there's always some kind of advantage. That's why it's sketchy. And that's why I'm not a gambler, because I would lose. I mean, it just would be too frustrating. I don't like to lose money.
I can't say, you know, the slots haven't been good to me.
Oh, the slots?
The slots. I like the slots.
He likes his penny slots.
I like the penny, but sometimes I'll feel frisky and I'll move up to the nickel.
Oh, the nickel slots. Oh, God. So you lose like 25 cents?
But since we're on this topic, I'll bounce back and forth between the slots and the digital roulette.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah. I love roulette. I love blackjack.
What are you playing? Really?
But I had a bad experience on the blackjack table in the casino.
When?
It was a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was not drunk. I repeat.
He says this. He's not drunk.
I repeat, not drunk. I was a little tipsy.
Uh-huh.
But I was completely coherent, right? So I'm at the table, and this is my first time playing blackjack at a casino table.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know, I get my hand, and I'm like, you know, hit me. And the dealer's like, you can't talk. I'm like, what? I'm like, all right, whatever. Just hit me. So the dealer disobeys what I asked him to do.
Disobeys.
Because he says, I got to do the hand signals.
Oh.
So I lost that turn. I said, all right, well, what's the hand signals? He's, I can't do this right now. We're in the middle of a game. Like, so I raise my hands up. I'm like, all right. I make up my own hand signal. He still, obviously, I know he knew what I meant. And he still didn't obey what I was asking him to do.
He was just being a dick.
Yeah, he was being a real dick. So I end up losing about, I can't remember what, I think it was $10 hands. So I was, two turns? I lost about $20, which I had a good chance to win because I had some good hands.
Yeah.
And after that second hand, he was like, all right, you have to leave.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Wow. That's just like taking your money. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. I was like, why? Because this is my first time. Like, I didn't know there was hand signals.
Well, I mean,
you wouldn't show me what the hand signals are when
I feel I like asked? It's pretty basic hand signals, though. It's usually exactly. just like
that's what I did.
Tap on the table.
I tapped on the table.
You wave your hand like that, like side to side,
bro. And I kid you not, this is what I did.
You were drunk.
No, I was not. I know that's a typical.
A typical Trey moment.
Yeah. It's typical of me, but in that case, it was not. Because this was one of my first few times gambling. My first time on a table. So, right. You know, like, I did it early on. I didn't drink too much yet at that moment. But I'll tell you what, after that, I got drunk as fuck. Because that shit pissed me the fuck off.
Right. And what's better than just to get drunk as fuck? But you know what? I want to know the secret behind the slots, man. That's what I want to know. There's because I have never have gotten to a slot. I put in, you know, I've played, I think I've lost as much as like $40, $60 playing slots, bro. And I win nothing.
I'll tell you the secret.
Oh, you know, because I remember last time we went to AC, you had a whole method. And I don't know if I really listened to you. So explain
just,
it to me.
It's just you need to know when to walk away.
That's
especially
it?
If you're using the, like, I don't know what you call it, but the casino's like club card that you slide into the machine.
Yeah.
So obviously they're tracking how much you win. So yeah. If you win too much, I don't know. Everything's all computerized and everything. So obviously they have some sort of control.
Yeah, but what happens when you win nothing? And you just
you
keep
won't
winning.
Win nothing.
I've done it. I don't think I've ever won anything other than a few cents. And I'm not playing like penny slots.
All right. I'll tell you. You got to play the right games too.
Okay.
You got to play the game. What I normally do, I'll walk around. I'll look, you know. I'll see what seems to be the hot areas. Like, what games are hot? Like,
yeah.
Where are people playing?
I remember you were waiting in line for that
you
one.
You see me. Sorry.
You're good.
For your birthday, I was walking around. I'm looking. You'll see a lot of empty seats. So, do not play those games. There's a reason. Some people, I'm no expert, but some people know a lot more than I do. And I just know from just looking.
Don't play those.
Yeah. But specifically at Tropicana, I have obviously a go-to game.
Yeah.
That I've been somewhat successful.
Are you over breaking even there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No? I didn't think so. I'm telling you, they get you that way,
they
bro.
Do. This is where I'm getting at. You got to know when to walk away.
Walk away.
There's one time, it was about 2 years ago. At this one slot, well, not just one, but in one area they have, you know, the same games. So I'll bounce around from chair to chair.
Yeah.
So like if I'm not winning, I'll move to the next, you know, available seat. So I was up about $300 on a penny slot.
On a penny slot?
Yeah.
Damn.
I put maybe $40 in, maybe $50.
I like total. That ratio. I like that ratio.
But this is at a time pre-COVID where you can order drinks at the slot.
Mm.
So I'm ordering my drinks. I'm trying to take my time. Like I'll press the button maybe like every minute. Like I'll wait.
Just want them drinks.
Yeah. Like I'm, you know, I don't want to blow all my money in once.
How much you tip at the slots?
Like a dollar or two a drink.
Damn, they don't like you.
Maybe. But I don't know. In my opinion, that's solid tip. Yeah. A lot of people don't even tip at all.
Yeah, those are scummy people.
You know?
Those are real scummy people. You need to tip them.
I'll tip. I mean, I'm not a big tipper. If I was winning some big ass bucks,
they also give you little ass cups.
Bro, if I won about...
Little ass cups.
If I won a couple hundred, shit, I'll throw you a 20, you know?
There you go. Big ball and tray.
Yeah, but 9 out of 10, I'm not winning anything big.
All right.
I might break even, but...
So you were talking about roulette, though.
Yeah. No, wait. Before we get to that.
Okay.
I want to elaborate on this story.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm waiting on this drink. It's taking really long. I'm over here getting drunk as fuck, right? So I'm up, what did I say, 300, 400. So all of a sudden, the drinks start taking really long. And during this time period, I'm not winning at all. So like everything I won is going right back into the machine.
Yep. That's how they get you.
So by the time I get my $5 Corona that I didn't pay a dollar for, well, I paid $2 in tip, I'm already back down to where I started.
Right. So that drink was not worth it.
Exactly.
Well, those little cocktail waitresses, they're in on it. They're in on it.
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they just tell them which person to deliver the drink to.
Well, if you give them more money, they'll come to you quick.
I don't think so. Everything's electronic, bro. They look at, I guess in the back room, they'll...
I'm telling you.
Like, all right, bring it to slot number 205.
There's dudes that will give $20 to the waitress every single time. And I guarantee you the $20 dudes are getting their drinks like ASAP. Like, they're ordering a drink and they're getting another drink on the way back.
But if you look at the cocktail waitress's tray, what she got? Maybe 5-6 drinks on it. So out of 6 people, you might be first.
You could be.
Big deal.
All right. So we know about your dilemma at that slot machine. So now I've never played roulette. I've never played electronic roulette. I've never played roulette in general. I hear a lot of people say that's like the best way that you can win some real money is on the roulette table. So what is your expertise in the field of roulette? What should I do? Because we're gonna go. You're coming in February, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to AC in February. I'm gonna go with Trey to the roulette table. We're gonna throw some dough down.
For Mr. J Buddha's birthday.
Turning
the big 3-0.
He was supposed to be here tonight. I don't know where he's at, but I know I'll talk to him probably tomorrow. But so when we go out there for his birthday, I want to know, what am I doing when I walk up to that table?
And my advice, what I normally do, I stick to one number.
Yeah.
Right? I'll always throw money down on a number. And then I'll throw money down on a color, which will be red or black. And then I'll throw money down on odd or even. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll always stick to the same number until I hit. If I hit. And then I'll always alternate depending how I'm feeling. Depending what's hitting on the board. I'll alternate between the red and the black and odd and even. So every play, like, and I'll tell you, I always go with 22. That's my number.
22.
So I'll always go every play. I'll go 22. And 22 is usually black and obviously it's even. So if I get lucky enough and I hit 22 black and even, that's a nice fucking payout, bro.
Yeah. Like, how much you win? I don't even know how that works.
Well, obviously it depends on how much you bet. If you play at a live table, there's usually minimum bets. Usually the lowest you can go is probably $10. But if you go to the digital one, you can put in whatever you want. And that's where I like to go.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely, I want
to
try that.
I like to throw maybe $3, $4, $5 on it total.
And you can win like $25, $30, something like that?
No, more than that.
Really?
The odd payout, if you hit the exact number, the payout is, I think, 1 to 32.
Oh, okay.
So 32 times what you bet.
That's really good. You can win that. No, I'm going to try that. And you know what else I want to try? I want to try the craps.
Craps? I never tried that.
That's where you throw the dice, right?
Yeah, I've played that on the block.
On the block.
I think it's a little different than
in the Bronx.
Yeah, I think it's a little different than in the casino, but
What is the logic?
I think it's the same logic. You got to get like 7 or 11.
Every time you roll, you have to get a 7 or 11. That's the only way to win.
Again, I don't know the exact logic to the casino style.
I need to know
style.
These things.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
To know
I'm
these
sorry.
Things. It's okay. It's all
but,
good.
But like, on the block, you got a pair of dice and you just fucking throw it against the wall and you everyone throws their bet down. And if you roll a 7 or 11, you win.
Okay.
And all you right. take turns rolling the dice.
And everybody. And so whatever the pot is, everybody splits it if you don't hit a 7
like,
or 11.
So like I throw my dice. I get nothing. Goes to the next person.
Oh, so it builds up kind of.
Well, it's one bet. So like, all right, this round, let's say we throw 20. 20 is the bet. I throw 20, you throw 20, he throws 20. I roll the dice, nothing. You roll the dice, nothing. He rolls the dice. He gets a 7 or 11. He wins the pot.
Oh, okay. All right, so it's kind of like a round thing. Like
yeah, you keep going around until someone gets 7 or 11.
All right.
And then you win whatever. But
we should do that more often.
Like, you know,
I want to do that.
In the hood, in the block, normally you'll have fucking like 10 people. So if everyone's throwing $5, $10,
there you go.
You can get $50 a round.
I need to go to the block, bro.
The block.
The block is hot, bro.
We can go to Yonkers. We can go to the Bronx.
What was that? Oh, my God. We were just watching a video.
Wait. I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to touch on this before, but you kind of went into the craps.
All right.
I have this story about the digital roulette table.
All right.
Yeah.
This is Trey's gambling history right now.
Listen. This was just last year.
All right.
Right? No, the year before. Right? I was at the table. Just as I was saying, I played the same number over and over.
22.
And I switch up the colors and the odd and even. So I'm doing that. And there was some sort of issue with my little station. I was trying to order a drink and it was not working. It was making me so mad. Right? So after a while, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to move over to the next seat. As I'm moving over to the next seat, my fucking number comes out.
22.
With the same color, with the same even.
Oh, wow.
$5 bet.
Would have won you like...
couple hundred.
Damn, son.
I was so fucking mad, bro.
Did you keep playing or was that
no,
it?
No, I left. It.
Yeah, no.
I went home.
Because that's just a sign, bro. That's the gambling gods telling you it was. Don't do it.
But how fucked up is that?
I have such an issue with gambling, man, because the thing with it, not an issue where I like I gamble too much. It's just that once I lose a little bit, I'm just done. Like, I won't, to me, if I, you know, before, you know, I would be like $20 or something like that. Like, if I lost $20, I'm done. Now, I mean, I would go like $100. If I lose $100, I'm pretty upset. Like, I'm like, damn, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the most I've lost in one sitting was... I think 200.
I've lost
maybe 300.
My highest was 200.
But that's about as high as I'll go, and that fucking killed me. Like it broke my heart, bro.
Yeah, no, it hurts, bro.
I was like, no, what am I doing?
And now you gotta think. Like I was at the casino before I get into what I was talking about before. I was at the casino and I didn't realize how high of hands they had, bro. There was dudes playing $100 hands. I'm like, what in the fuck? You throwing down $100? Listen, I am not rich by any standards. And for one hand, to throw $100, like I said, I'll do like once in a blue moon, I did like the $50 like little hands. And that was rough. But I was like really feeling frisky at that time when I was doing it. And it was only like a few times. And I won. I think every time I threw a $50 hand down, I won.
You won?
Yeah, but it's like you win 100 because it's just double. It's blackjack.
Shit.
I know. It was dope.
Yeah. Blackjack's 2-1.
Right. So it was... I did it, and I felt sketchy every time I did it, but I did it, and I probably will never do it again, just because I don't know if I'll ever have that luck again. But speaking of somebody who wasn't lucky, as I was trying to tell you before, I want to play this clip for everybody so they can hear this madness that went on in the city the other day.
An investigation unfolding into a deadly incident at a subway station. Police say it all began when a man pushed someone onto the tracks, and it was caught on video. CBS 2's Kieran Dillon is live in Harlem with the latest. Kieran?
Well, Alice, this incident took place just about an hour ago, so this is still very much an active scene. Let me give you a live look behind me right now so you can see for yourself. You can see police officers are here guarding the 110th Street Central Park North subway station. Now, details of exactly what happened are just coming in, but take a look at some incredible video we've been able to obtain. In it, you can see some type of dispute breakout between two people. One of them is naked. Now, police say the man without clothes that you're looking at is an emotionally disturbed person. Officials say he approached a man he did not know and pushed him onto the 2 train line here at the corner of West 110th. A Good Samaritan then got involved and went down to the tracks to help the victim. Police say the unidentified, emotionally disturbed person then jumped down to assault the Good Samaritan, but hit the third railing and got electrocuted in the process. He was pronounced dead here at the scene.
Now, can I just say, did they really have to say that the naked man attacking somebody was emotionally disturbed? Like, couldn't they just leave that alone?
Of course they did, because, you know, they gotta say something positive about the guy.
No. There is nothing positive about this guy at all. because, for one thing, he's attacking somebody on a subway butt-ass naked. Like, I like what I mean, like, it wasn't like he was in his underwear. No, he's butt-ass naked attacking somebody. And then the fact that somebody tried to come and save him, and this motherfucker went and attacked him too, and then died.
That's karma at its very best.
It is. It is. But that's just like what went wrong with that guy? Like, I wonder, like, what happened that day? You know what I mean? Like, he woke up, how did he get naked? Like, did he just, like, walk around the city naked and then, you know, get into the fucking subway naked? Or, like, did he take his clothes off in the subway and then was just like, I'm going to attack this guy?
Or did he strip while he was attacking this guy?
Right. It's like,
in the video, all you see is just a naked guy swinging at someone.
Yeah. And, I mean, what would you do? It's like, what the fuck? Like, this dude is butt-ass naked coming after me.
He's swinging at me and his thing swinging at me.
His thing swinging at me, too. It's like, yo, calm down, boy. And But, like, that takes a lot of balls for the fucking... No pun intended. No pun intended. It takes a lot of balls for a good Samaritan to be like, all right, let me go help this guy out because this butt-ass naked dude is attacking him right now. And then, you know, like you said, the karma factor... The dude got electrocuted, butt-ass naked. So he died because in the subways they got those, like, what, those electronic strips or some shit?
Yes, that third line, they always told you, don't touch the third line. You can jump down there, but do not touch the third line.
Yeah.
He touched the third line.
I wonder what touched the third line. Imagine if he fucking got electrocuted from his dick.
Like, what the
fuck? Like, the motherfucker, like, he fell down, his dick got electrocuted. And the motherfucker barbecued chicken now.
Barbecue dicking.
Barbecue dicking. No, but fuck this dude, bro. It's just crazy. Like, the stuff that, like, it's just so funny how they're so natural when they're telling this story.
Yeah, because it's New York. It's like, shit like this happens every day.
It's like, oh, emotionally disturbed men, butt ass naked, attacked a man. And
and continuing on to that, same day, there's this lady. We'll play that clip too, right after. There's this lady. She steals a postal van, truck, whatever. She just starts crashing into all these cars. And obviously the outcome is the cops get her, they slam her on the ground, they arrest her. But, like, what the fuck was going on in New York today?
Yeah.
I think it was, no, this was Brooklyn, actually. Yeah.
Brooklyn.
This was
and Brooklyn,
and the train incident was Harlem. Like, what the fuck was going on in New York?
But, like, before we play the clip, once again, it's like, what happened to this lady that she was just like, all right, I'm going to steal a fucking, you know, USPS fucking van, you and know, then just start over crashing it. You know what I mean? And once again, when you hear the clip, they're just so casual about it. Like, it's like a normal day in New York. Either way, listen to it for yourself. Shout out to NBC4 on this one. The last one was CBS.
Natalie, that joyride, a bizarre joyride, ended on Fulton and Kingston with a wrecked postal truck, the driver handcuffed on the ground, but not before witnesses say she tried desperately to get away, leaving a mess behind, sideswiping cars, rear-ending vehicles.
And now let's listen to this guy that was part of this tragic moment.
We were coming down Fulton Street, going, I guess, west, and all of a sudden we got rear-ended really hard. And I'm like, why am I getting hit by a mail truck? They tear off the corner of my car and then, you know, go around me and plow into five other cars a little bit down Fulton.
Now, is it me or did that dude not even sound like he know he, like, where he was going?
I don't even think he was, like, in a car or nothing. He probably just seen it from a distance.
Right? He sounded like he just trying to be on the news. Like, he just made that whole shit up. He's like, yeah, well, you know, I was going west and, you know.
This... Yeah, well, I was, like, hit by a mail truck.
Like, oh, were you? Really? And then he says, I'll get hit, like, five other cars. She hit 12 cars, bro.
Yeah. So his math was off.
His math is way off. He definitely either was a little stony baloney or he's a little bit of a liar, bro, because I don't know, man. He sounds sketchy as shit when he was talking about that.
He had to be close by, but I mean, I don't think he was an actual victim.
It was like It's like that dude who tells a story that like he was told by someone else who was told by someone else. He's like, yeah, she was in a mail truck because he sees a mail truck crash. And he's like, yeah. And, you know, I was going down west with my family and, you know. Got hit by the fucking lady.
Let alone this road goes north and south.
Right, right. This fucking lying piece of shit. You just trying to get on fucking CBS. That's why you can't trust the news, bro. They'll take anybody. They're like,
oh, you were there? Yeah. Well, tell me your story.
Well, you see how they cut the clip, too. Like, when he talks, he says some stuff, and then all of a sudden just cuts it to something else. They just want to... I'm telling you, like, but once again, it's like... It's just so casual. Like, another day in New York. A fucking lady steals a fucking mail truck and crashes in the 12 cars.
Nothing we haven't seen before.
I feel like if that happened around here, that'd be some big news.
Yeah, that'd be major news, bro. That's
major news. Like, Jackson, New Jersey. Man.
It'll be on every single local news, every the Ocean County scanner, the SWAT everything.
Team. The SWAT team would have been out
there. Yeah, they would have been out there.
They've been holding gun ups. Like,
they might have even called the FBI.
Right. But happens in the city. It's like, it's just normal behavior in the city.
Yeah, it's nothing. Just put it on the news. That's it.
But on the topic of cities and stuff like that, I've been driving in North Jersey a lot lately. And let me tell you something. It's like driving go-karts up there. It's like there's no rules to driving compared to like where we're from. You know what I mean? Like where we drive around here, it's like open highway and like, you know, we park in like regular parking spots and like and fucking driveways and shit. Up there, it's like, you know, like they want me to park my van in like a spot that's the size of my van. You know what I mean? And if you can't do that right off the bat, you get honked at, you get beeped at, people getting pissed off at me. You know, people ask me, oh, how come you can't do that? It's like, because I never fucking had to. And also, they just cut you off for no fucking reason up there. They just fucking pull up. You'd be driving down some like little narrow ass road, and then these motherfuckers will cut you off and then fucking beep at you. Because you're a little close to them.
Yeah. If you're trying to parallel park too, they won't even let you. They'll just keep on passing you. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, for real. Like, and I'm the worst parallel parker probably of all fucking time. And, you know, it's like I don't even have a chance to do it because these motherfuckers just keep going. Like there's no, like around here, if you have to parallel park, say you're like by the beach or something like that, people will just sit there and wait until you do it. Like, whatever.
They're not they're gonna, so kind.
Yeah, it's so kind. And then you get to the city and it's like, not the city.
Fuck you.
Like North Jersey, man. North Jersey is just a different breed. Like it's not New Jersey. You know what I mean? Or it is New Jersey, but it's not, you know, like there's levels to this shit.
It's not what you're accustomed to.
No, it's like the Jersey Shore, Central Jersey, not really Central. It's like
a fucking jungle out there.
Bro, up in the fucking North Jersey, it's crazy, bro. Like it's legit crazy. I'm always so paranoid because like I have like a camera on my car that goes off if I stop short. Or if I have to like swerve or something like that. And 99% of the time my camera goes off when I'm driving in fucking North Jersey. Cause it's just like, it's just so hard to fucking do it up there.
When that camera comes on, just shoots your nerves up, right?
Yeah. It's like, fuck, they got me. You know what I mean? You can't, you know, like, you know, I'm always a good driver.
I know I fucked up.
Yeah. But it's like, you fucked up. But it's hard though. Cause like sometimes even like the stop signs are in like some weird ass spots. It's like you can't even see the stop sign. And then you got people that just like jaywalking is fucking the norm, bro. Like I don't even know why they even have something called jaywalking.
But you gotta stop for the pedestrians.
Yeah. But they just walk. Green light, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they're walking. They won't even look.
No, they don't. They don't even look.
They just walk. It's like, bitch, you gotta stop for me.
Right. But like even like thinking of it like if I was them, it's like, I'd be paranoid. I don't get hit by a car. It's like, these people are so accustomed, they don't give a fuck.
And I can relate to that, because I be doing the same shit. I'll just fucking walk across the street like...
Yeah, but that's...
Bitch, you gotta stop.
You're from a spot like that, you know? So you have the best of both worlds.
But I'm still a little courteous. Like, if I see a car fucking, you know, coming down hot, like... I'm not going to just walk across. Like, I care about my life.
I care. They don't care about their lives, bro. They really don't. They don't give a fuck. It's like, yo, that's just some insurance money if they live.
But, like, if I see a good opportunity, like, all right, they're a little bit down there. I could probably make it across if I hurry up.
do a little jog.
Yeah, you know, a little old man jog.
It's mostly just the driving part of it. Like, it's, you know, I want like a couple shells and bananas because I feel like, you know, I'm playing Mario Kart when I'm driving up there.
And if you're from Illinois, you're going to be collecting because yeah. Facebook is shelling out about $350 for what? 7 million residents in Illinois.
Yeah. So basically what I was reading was that Facebook's dishing out $650 million.
Oh, even more.
Oh, even more. To 7 million people in Illinois. And that's only the ones who claimed. So basically what it was about that I got the gist of it, because it's a little confusing, is that they use some kind of like biometric face scan. And Illinois has like laws that prohibit that. Just kind of like what iPhone's doing with Facebook.
Yeah.
Like they're prohibiting some things. So basically these people are saying that they kept their data for the, you know, the face scan. And so because they kept the data, even though Illinois passed the law for they can't do that, you know, this has been going on for 5 years. 5 years later, you know, 7 million people getting $350 a pop. You know, that's a little bit of a stimulus check for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
we getting
you out there, you getting the other half of your stimulus that you should have got.
That's right. You getting $600. Then they're about to pass out that $1,400. Then you getting $350. Damn, you don't have to work for a minute. You know, just take a little vacay.
You balling for a month.
That's what I'm saying. I was happy as hell. You get your 600?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got mine too.
When did you get yours? I got mine on the first.
No, I got mine after that, but it was a little weird because they broke it down into two payments. So, yeah, it was strange. So, like, I got, like, a payment of, like, 150 something, and I was like, what the hell?
The fuck?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I contacted H&R Block because they're the ones who sent it to me. And
wait, why did they send it to you?
Because I think I did my taxes with them last.
Even still, I never received anything from the company I did my taxes with.
Who gave you yours? So did it say, like, it, government?
Yeah, it said the, I forget, it was something like Treasury, you know.
Oh, no, mine came straight from H&R Block. I don't know why. But either way, the gist of it is they gave me one check for like $150, and then they gave me the rest in a second check like a week later. So it's like, I think it started on like the 3rd or the 4th, and I didn't get the rest of it until like the 11th or the 12th.
You know something funny, too? New Year's Eve, well, it was technically New Year's Day at this time. When I was going to bed, I was thinking, I'm like, damn, it would be nice if I woke up to start the new year with my stimulus check.
And you did.
And my girl, she laughed at me. She's like, yeah, okay.
Damn you, Priscilla.
I checked it in the morning. I was like, woo! I felt like Ric Flair in that bitch.
Oh, yeah. No, free money is good money, man. I like it. I mean, listen, I mean, I can't say nothing. I'm working, you know, so I can't really say, hey, I'm like, you know, really dead on my feet right now.
Right.
But at the same time, like I was talking to my girl. I was talking to my girl on the podcast. You know, the people who are working are keeping the economy going. So like they deserve it too, because if we didn't have the people who are working, the economy would completely fall out.
Nah, yeah. The people that aren't working and maybe not even receiving unemployment anymore, they really need this stimulus payment. And I feel bad that they're only getting the $600 versus what we got last time. We got the $1,200.
Right. And that's kind of where I was at with it. I said, you know, if they're going to give a stimulus out, like, I feel like the working people should have got like the $600.
Yeah.
And the people that are not working should have got the $2,000. You know what I mean? I think that's a fair trade off. Because, like, I get, once again, I'm all for, you know, if we're working, we're keeping the economy going, and it's rough still for everybody. Just normal everyday life sucks. You know, we don't do the same things we used to do, you know, so we deserve a little bit of something too. But the people who aren't working deserve a lot more than even just the $2,000. You know what I mean? Because if you're,
they need it to keep going.
Yeah, because, and then even the, you know, I just got an email today, and the email said that if you got any money from unemployment, which I don't think I did, but if you got any money from unemployment, that they're still going to make sure they get their taxes back for it. All those people who were getting like those extra, what, $300, $600, whatever it was. Remember that?
Yeah.
They were getting all that extra money. They said that there wasn't tax deducted then.
It is tax deducted now.
Well, now
not the bonus. What are you talking about?
The extra money they were given. So you got money for when you're on unemployment. This is in New Jersey.
So, yeah. So you're saying the extra $300 bonus was
right. You have
tax
to,
free
was
originally
was tax free. And now they're saying when you do your taxes, You have to pay taxes on it. How are they going? Yeah, no, it's fucked. Because it's like, how are you now? It's not like we got any better. So it's like, where do you think these people are going to get the money from? They're going to get it from the stimulus check that you're giving them. So you're pretty much just taking it back because you're going to tax them for all that money they got. So if you are, you
gotta think I think that's what Priscilla was talking about. She was mentioning to me earlier, she was like, she was talking about the stimulus check that we recently just got. She was saying something like they're going to take something back from that.
No, they're not going to take anything back from that. But in a way, they kind of are. Because if you were on unemployment, basically you were getting that extra money and all that extra money wasn't taxed. So say you were on unemployment and you were getting every week, you were getting an extra $300 and you're on unemployment for God knows how many weeks, you know, that racks up. So think 5,000, you know, 4,000, whatever it is, you're going to have to owe taxes on that. So if you add up the taxes, you're going to have to shell back to the government a good $400 or $500, maybe $600, you know, and that's what they're going to get back with all that. So it's kind of like you're not really getting. So
they're pretty much getting this recent stimulus back
in a way, not the full thing, but they're not
almost
they're not really giving. Oh, yeah. This full stimulus, the 600.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty much giving it to you like it's like hold that. And I'm going to take it back. I want that money back
next month.
Right. Because everybody got to do their taxes. Well, I guarantee a lot of people are going to wait.
You know? Yeah, you can skip a year.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. You don't have to file every year. You can do it every other year.
Well, I mean, this would be probably the perfect year if people don't have money coming back to them.
Maybe not because you don't know what the next year holds.
Oh, let's not, man. I think on that.
I don't want to be negative, but just. Speaking realistic, you don't know.
No, you don't. And we're going to be hopeful, like me and you were talking about in the podcast before, that 2021 is going to be a much better year.
I think it will. But
yes, but you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
It's not written. So.
And if you don't know, now you know. And I think on that note, we went pretty damn long. We're almost at an hour and a half. So we're going to leave it at that. Big Mike the Don. Here with Mr. Trey Williams. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Stay tuned.
And as I always say, I hope you have a good day, no matter what day you're listening to this podcast. And always stay tuned to the Reverse the Universe podcast.